It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's a magic marker. A felt pen.
It's a mistake.
It's a trap.
It's a fucking comedy.
It's quiet. Maybe too quiet.
It's all happening.
It's a good day to die.
It's a good day to talk about movies.
Welcome back. It is a good day to talk about Set It Off. I am your host, Duncan. Joining me, as always, is Gardner.
Welcome back, folks. Let's set this off, huh?
Yeah. And joining us today to discuss her choice in film is LaToya. LaToya, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, we're really excited to get into the discussion about, like I said, your choice in film, Set It Off. But before we get into that, why don't you, if you don't mind, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and what connected us here today, I guess.
Great. Yes. So I'm LaToya and I am a film reviewer and content creator with my own site, Frontlay 27 Tales. I'm also a contributor on other sites such as Movie Marker as well. So you will find me on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, and part of the London film crowd. So you'll find me at the London Film Festival quite often, and whenever we have our London-based film Twitter meetups as well. So always pleased to meet new people. So if you do find me on Twitter, do say hello. I am friendly, and most of us from London are friendly as well. And all new opinions and discussions are welcome. So yes, that is me.
Thank you for that. Now that we've shared a little bit about yourself, why don't we also share a little bit about our show, GDT? Here on GDT, we talk about movies we love and interview independent filmmakers. Every Friday, we have a full episode where we have a guest on, and those guests are usually independent filmmakers or others in the filmmaking industry who we interview. Those episodes are very informative, so stick around for them. On top of our Friday full episodes, we have three other bonus episodes a week. On Mondays, we have a mini-series hosted by Nyatafa, where we discuss the short film that we're currently working on here at GDT. If you want to learn more about that short film, check out those episodes, as we have interviews with everyone involved in the making of the film. This week, we interviewed my co-director on the film, Kari, who is also a GDT host. On Tuesdays, we have our superhero episodes as we go through the MCU movie by movie, starting with Iron Man. We're going through all the past MCU movies, but also anytime a new superhero property is released, Marvel or not, we'll be discussing that as well. So stay tuned for Thor 4 coming soon, and many more. This week, we discussed The Incredible Hulk, so check it out if you missed it. On Thursdays, we have our regular bonus episodes where we discuss a new movie, new TV show, something relevant, or we have on a guest to talk about a movie they love, like today. This is our bonus episode this week, so enjoy it and check out the other ones if you've missed them. Those are the four weekly episodes we do, and on top of that, on the first Sunday of each month, we have a special Sunday Movie Squad episode, so stay tuned for that as well. And that is everything we do on the show.
Before we go any further, a quick spoiler warning. This discussion will contain spoilers for Set It Off from 1996. So if you don't want Set It Off spoiled, turn this off now, go watch it, and get back to us.
Let's get into Set It Off, the 1996 film directed by F. Gary Gray and written by Kate Lanier and Takashi Bufford. It stars Jada Pinkett, Queen Latifah, Vivica A. Fox, Kimberly Elise, John C. McGinley, and many more. This was my first time watching the film, and I would really like to hear LaToya talk about it a little bit. So let's get into our opening thoughts. LaToya, like I said, as our guest, you get to go first. So can you please share with us your broad thoughts on Set It Off, and tell us why you chose this movie, out of all the movies ever, to talk about today?
Thank you. So Set It Off was one of my favorite 90s films. It is an all-female heist film. It is action-packed from the start. It brings you into female friendships, aspirations, family relationships, community relationships, and also just facing adversity from the system as well. And it's just more or less right from the start quite immersive into the women's lives and a lot of the action. So I think it probably is the only film where you have an all-Black female lead cast in a heist. And it was really good to see. There's also a brilliant soundtrack as well. It is the first film that Dr. Dre has starred in as well. I think it also introduced Kimberly Elise, and you have quite a range of renowned actors from that time in it as well. There's a lot within the film, lots of themes to unpack, and it is just one of my favorites.
Awesome. That should lead to a great discussion, I think. So I'm excited for that. Gardner, what are your initial thoughts on Set It Off?
Yeah, I mean, I thought this movie was really, really strong. I had not heard of it before, which to me seems kind of criminal because, like you were saying, LaToya, like I can't think of any other movie that is so forward thinking with having an all Black female cast, really action packed, engaging film and story throughout. I was really, really impressed with this movie and also just kind of bummed that I don't see more discussion about it, because I thought it was an original movie and ahead of its time in a big way. I thought all the performances were solid. Like you said, LaToya, that soundtrack is awesome. And I will definitely be watching this one again. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, everything that I can say, I would say that LaToya or Gardner has already said better, but I'm going to try anyway. I do think that it's, again, I think that I'm always praising the cast because I just, you know, as long as I've been watching films, I feel like that, I don't know, like it's just, I can, you know, and this is, I guess, a big part of movies, so it's not a crazy thing to say, but like the characters are very important to me, and like I connect with characters, and like that'll be a big part, like, of what makes a movie, like, even if it's maybe not the most plot heavy movie, as long as I can like follow the characters, I'm good. And I'm not saying this isn't a plot heavy movie, because it is, it's got a plot in it. I'm just saying in general I focus on characters because of that, I think, and like, so I'm always like focusing on the cast, and like here, like you were saying, like top to bottom, renowned actors, new actors, but everyone's doing a good job. I love John C. McGinley from, you know, I've seen him in Scrubs a bunch, so when I saw him pop up at the beginning, I was like, holy cow. And then obviously like Jada Pinkett, Queen Latifah, you know, what do you have to say about that? Like, they're two, you know, very well-known great actors. So I would agree with you, Gardner, because obviously, I mean, I think it was like 10 minutes into watching the movie, I texted you because you had already seen it, Gardner. And I was like, this feels like it's going to be a very forward-thinking movie. And it really was. Like, I mean, top to bottom, and like, even like you said, not even just in the story, because the story is like, it's, you know, I guess like fight the power, like it's like the authorities are like holding them down and stuff. And like, it's showing that, it's not afraid to show that, I like that. But also in the actual movie, like the production of it itself, right? Like we were saying, with the cast and like an all female, all Black led cast, like that's important, especially like in the 90s. Like, we've obviously still got a long way to go, and we're, as you know, the filmmaking industry, it looks like they're trying at least. But from 96 to, let's say, 2022, there's been an improvement, right? So it wasn't necessarily as in the norm to see a movie like that get made. And like, obviously that's not a good thing, like we're not saying that that's good, but it's the fact of the time period. And I think it's like you were saying, Gardner, like why is this the first time you are watching it, right? That's the bigger issue, I think, with it, because like you said, and I'm not the biggest action guy, and this is very much like, you know, it's action heist, like, and it's well done, but I don't necessarily seek out those types of movies in general. But when they're well done, obviously, when they're recommended, like, oh, this is a really good one, like for example Set It Off, like then I'll watch them and I'll be really enthralled with them. But like, that also speaks to it being able to, like, it's not my genre, right? And I'm still into it. So that speaks to how good it is, I think. So all that, I mean, we'll get into it. Like, I really was thinking the entire time throughout it, again, like about how it just felt ahead of its time, which we've said, I'm just kind of regurgitating points that have already been made, but we can get into what we're kind of hinting at, what actually happens. We'll talk about where it starts, and it starts with a bang. Right? It's not doing anything like where it's like, oh, like, you know, you got to wait like 10 minutes for any, it's right away. You're in a bank robbery and it's going poorly for the people involved, right? And for who you already know, Frankie, you can tell like that this is her main character, right? Like in the way it's shot. So you know that, like, okay, we're following her, and it's, this is not a good time for her, right? Because it's different. Like if you would be following, if it would be shot differently if you were following the bank robbers, for example. And so it becomes more devastating than it would be triumphant because of that, because you know that you're not on the side of the bank robbers. And then you see right away, once the police get involved and her bosses get involved and start asking her about procedure, why she didn't do this and that, and she vaguely knew the guy, like she recognized the guy, not even actually friends with him, and she gets fired, right? So like from the get-go, it's the system, the authorities, everyone holding down our main character of Frankie. So she ends up working with her friends, TT and Cleo, who are our main three of the movie. So that's the opening of the movie. I don't know if you guys want to chime in here about any of the like the setup of the movie, but how we're feeling so far into it.
Well, I think you're missing what's her character's name? Stoney?
Stoney, yes.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think she's the real protagonist here. I know we start with Frankie, but to me that's more of like the inciting incident.
Right, right. I thought I had said all three in my bed.
Yeah, so I would probably agree with that. I think that Stoney seems to be the glue holding them all together and seems to be the one that makes quite a lot of the decisions and decides at first, well, what their initial plans are not a good idea. And there's a lot of the emotion following Stoney and her arc.
Yeah, because she seems to be like the most level-headed throughout the film. I mean, obviously, TT is reluctant to join them in the heist in the beginning, and then she eventually gets pulled in. But I think throughout the film, Stoney is the most reasonable. She doesn't get caught up in, you know, spending all of her money like Cleo does on her girlfriend or like getting too into it. And then I just, you know, because she's the one that makes it all the way to the end. That opening sequence, like I said, is the inciting incident. And then that allows us to be introduced to the main cast of characters where we then meet our protagonist.
Right. And I should clarify because they're not in the opening scene. So that's what I mean by, I guess, it's our point of view. Is I shouldn't have said protagonist of it because she's not. Like you guys are saying, obviously, it's, you know, Stoney. And then I would say Stoney and Cleo are the obviously because they're, you know, that's why you get Jada Pinkett and Queen Latifah to play those two roles. Not, you know, disparaging any of the other actors in the film, but those are the main roles. And so you get the biggest names for them. Right. It makes the most sense. So, yes, it's a movie about Stoney. That's 100% true. And I just missed naming them there when I was going through them, but it is more so, you're right, like I would say even Frankie is kind of less so than the other three, you know, that like involved in what we're going forward. So that's right, you guys are 100% right there. And so it's Cleo, right, she's the, I guess, the instigator of the ideas of robbing the banks and of doing this, because she's like sick of, you know, getting, because we see in the job too, there it's not just the authorities and, you know, her or Frankie getting fired from her job as a bank teller. It's now this new job is also holding them back, and it's not, they're not being treated right, and then they're sick of it, so they, you know, they turn to crime. And this is where, you know, I guess, you know, you kind of know where it's going. You know that they're not going to just like, okay, like it's not going to be like, okay, no, we don't want to rob the bank. Like, you know, they're going to start robbing banks. Like, that's where you're going. And I feel like you kind of, the dread is already sitting in for me. Like, it's already starting, like, this is going to go wrong. Like, you can feel them. And then, like, we're not even at the, because there's a real moment where you know, like, okay, now I know it's going to go wrong. And I'll get to that in a little bit. But we can talk about this, their idea, the inciting, like them deciding now, not the inciting incident, as we had that already, but the instigation of the idea of robbing the bank and how the group feels about that, I guess.
Yeah, so I think what the initial scene does a really good job of is just pitting them against the system, showing that even if they're aspiring to move out of their project and their neighborhoods, that the system tags them all as being guilty by association just by knowing people within that neighborhood. And so when you have the second scene and it introduces the other characters and they're in a party and they're talking about what they want to do, and you can see that also TT has her difficulties because she has a child, and then they talk about what has happened to Frankie as well. And it's very much a case of their being that female solidarity, but also still having that fight against the constraints they are facing within their neighborhood and also from the system itself, because Stoney's brother is also a student. She's helping him. She then faces against the patriarchy almost in trying to assist her brother and find some money, but is then exploited. And so there is just so many elements introduced quite quickly, and it's not done in a way where it really lingers. It's just really quite quick, and you see how there are all of these threads, all of these elements leading them up to that moment where they make that decision based on their individual circumstances to become involved in a heist.
I think that's a good point, that it is well handled. That's something I was kind of afraid of when I saw where some of the narrative plot threads were going. I was like, man, I hope this isn't like, you know, like misery porn or like exploitative. And I think you could make the case that maybe there's a couple moments that you might be able to like construe that way. But I think as a whole, it really contributes well to the reality of what women in that position, what kind of tragedies they would live through. And I'm sure many women did live through. So for that reason, I feel like, for example, the scene where Stoney is taken advantage of, and then later when her younger brother is killed by the police, I think it really, they're well handled and it's really impactful, and you really empathize with these characters, especially in the, you know, cultural moments that we're living in now. You know that this is something that is more and more attention has been brought to since the time of this film's release. So again, Duncan, like you were saying, with this being a very forward thinking film, I mean, my God, it didn't feel exploitative to me. It felt prescient.
I will say that I always have this feeling whenever I watch something that's older, and this isn't that old, obviously, but it is, you know, it's 25 years old now, you know, 26 years old. It's not a new movie, but you know, it's funny thing, like talking about a 90s movie as old, but you know, it's been like, you know, I'm that old. That's
the year I was born. There.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. it's just funny. But a lot of times when I say old, I'm thinking like 70s. But anyway, an older movie, and you see, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to see in an older movie that they're dealing with issues that we haven't resolved yet, basically. That's the frustrating part. And I would argue it is very forward-thinking. We've said that in many ways. But in that case, is it even forward-thinking, or was it actually just thinking on things that were actually going on already? And were actually even – I mean, there was protests and riots and stuff like that. I mean, I hesitate to even use the word riot, but it, you know, that's kind of what the you know, the term was used for the big ones, I guess. That shit was going on way back then. You know what I mean? Years before this movie came out and stuff. And it's like, that's the frustrating part for me, that we're still in a situation where people need to hit the streets and protest in mass, you know, about things like that. I don't know. Very frustrating. And like, obviously, Gardner, you and I like don't have the exact knowledge or point of view to even understand, you know, exactly how frustrating it is. But I just, you know, the sympathy, you know, is what I feel. And the frustration is there. And I think that a lot of people probably feel that way. But it is forward thinking, and it is speaking on matters of its time in I think the right way, or at least doing its best to handle it in the right way, while also being entertaining. Like we said, like, this is just a good movie. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about, because we love to talk about like inclusivity and shining lights on, you know, underrepresented communities. So like, that's super important. So we're going to harp on that during this conversation. I know like that's going to be an important thing, but if you took all that out, and this is an important thing to note, it's just a good movie. Like, we're not lauding this movie just because we think we agree with what it's saying, for example, which it happens to be that it sounds like we all do kind of agree with it, but it's a good movie. And I think that's an important thing to note. Like, it's a good action film. And that's like what's important. Like, it's the same thing where it's like, you get, we talked about it in a past episode where it's like, you can have stories that are specifically about an underrepresented community, but it's also important that you have stories that can just be involving an underrepresented community. You know what I mean? You can just have a cast that has three female black actors leading it, and that can just be a good movie. And you know what I mean? It doesn't have, you know, all around, I just, you know, that aspect of it, I think we're all on board with. I just wanted to mention, you know, the frustration of the current times. So a little bit of a tangent there.
Yes, absolutely. I would certainly agree. So it reflected the reality of that time. Unfortunately, that is still a reality that we're seeing now with a lot of cases that are perhaps highlighted even more of police brutality. What I noticed in the film is that it was also aware of the fact that the police having shot a young boy who was a straight A student, how that would actually then have negative press. And so that was something they were concerned about during the film. So that was good to see. So I think overall the film is quite self-aware in terms of reflecting reality, but also in terms of its own role as well, because I think that it's perhaps one of the first few films as well where you have an LGBTQ context as well, without necessarily that just being the sole focus of the film, where it is embedded within a larger structure. So you have that. I think it's also one that references other films as well. So it refers to the fact that, yes, they're going on a heist and doing this is very much like Thelma and Louise. There's also a funny film where they're replicating The Godfather. So it is just really, really well made. It highlights issues. It confronts those realities, makes its audience think, has the action packed, but also has a lot of emotion, underlying themes, and quite a lot that people can unpack as well.
I want to ask this question of both of y'all. Do you feel that this movie maybe goes a little too easy on the police? Because they are like the antagonists of the story, and I love John C. McGinley. I think he's a good actor, but his character is, I don't know. They try to have their cake and eat it too, right? By making him the antagonist, but also making him like sympathetic and like a nice guy. And it just didn't, I think everything else in the movie like really falls into place. But that for me rang a little hollow. And it was like, oh, I feel like they're doing this because of the time period of the 90s and they want to have like mass appeal with the film. I feel like they're doing this to like make the white audience comfortable. You know, I'm curious what both of y'all's thoughts are on that.
I wonder if some of that was because he was conscious of the fact that there was a young boy who was unarmed, who was shot, and how that would then affect the community. I agree that that wasn't necessarily an element that was perhaps focused on too much, because I would have imagined that there would have been quite a public outcry and that wasn't the focus. But that may have been the intention of the director, not to make another film where that is the sole focus, and wanting to explore the various elements surrounding the women, their friendship, and what drove them to the point where they felt there was no other alternative but to embark on robbing banks, and providing that fresh perspective, because again, it's one that we don't see so often.
I think that's a good point. Focus on the ripple effects in the community and on the families instead of on the public outcry. Yeah, it does make for a more interesting, more fresh story.
I wanted to touch on a couple things. I love that you brought up, I can't believe we took us that long to get to it, that there, obviously, we have an LGBTQ character who just gets to exist. And that's like exactly kind of what I was saying, where it's like it doesn't have to be focused on. It's just they exist. And that's important, right? Like to like the visibility. So I love that. I did want to mention that, because this is something, a point that gets brought up a lot of times, like, and I think it's fine, like, to show, like, oh, he's a straight A student and stuff like that, and like, that's good, and like, maybe, I don't know if like that flips some racist brain where he's like, oh, like, people who don't look like me can be straight A students. I don't know where exactly, like, who that's convincing exactly. You know what I mean? It seems like if you already feel that way, like, if you're bigoted like that, that's probably not going to change your mind. But my point is that you don't have to be a straight A student to not get, like, gunned down by the cops. And I think that's an important, like, note to make, that, like, you're allowed to be a C student and walk around and not get killed by the cops as well. You know what I mean? You don't have to be a pillar of your community to not be murdered, for example. It's just one note I wanted to say. And I don't think that I'm not, like, criticizing the movie in that aspect. It's just when we're talking about the topic, I think it's an important thing to say, because this is a real life thing that happens all the time. And it is a real life thing that gets brought up. And I think it's fine to say that a kid was, you know, let's talk about how great the kid was, because, like, that, I'm sure that his family wants to in that time. You know, it's a really rough time, and I'm not going to pretend like I've ever been through something like that, so I don't understand. But, or I can't, you know, again, I can't empathize with it, but I can sympathize. But I do think, you know, if it's important to note that, you know, anyone deserves to not be killed by the cops, a straight A student or not.
I think as well with that, because the police were so focused on somebody that had particular insignia at the back of their head, and so the film was probably just focusing on that part, showing that quite often with the police, they're going by a really generic description of somebody that may be tall, black, and that's all they're looking for. And so they're so blinded by any other distinctions, distinguishing features, and we'll just shoot first. So I think the film really highlighted all of that part within the context of police brutality, and quite often how they're just indiscriminate in doing that.
And I will agree with you, Gardner, that I think they are a little easy on the cops, and it's probably, you know, making it palatable for the audience of the time. And I almost wish, because I think there's actually an interesting route to go, because here's how you described it, right? You said, and I think you're right, you said they use John C. McGinley as the antagonist, but also as a sympathetic character and stuff like that, and it's kind of easing up on the villain a little bit. And I agree with you in that sense. But here's a way, and maybe they were even trying to do this, I don't know, I don't want to speak for the filmmakers, but I don't think they necessarily got all the way there. But I think it would be interesting to show that these villains, right, these antagonists of certain people's lives, like, because they're not the antagonists to you and I, Gardner, for example. They're not antagonizing everyone. So to certain people's lives, these people who are antagonizing them can come off as these really sympathetic people in, like, everyday life, for example. Like, you might know a guy who is a cop, for example, and he might be really nice to you. And you might be like, yeah, no, not, like, not every cop, like, for example. And then he might be on the job acting completely different to someone who doesn't look like you, or to someone he doesn't know. And I think it's, you know, and it could be, I'm sure that there's racist cops who aren't just hanging out with white people when they're off the clock, for example. And in their mind, it's like, well, this person's not a criminal. But then when they're on the job, you know, it's like, well, and there's the phrase that, you know, I'm only saying it because it's something that just stay away from, but, you know, like, that one of the good ones, which is that awful ideology from racists. Right. And so, like, I think it's that would be an interesting route to go, I think, to kind of show that, to show how these people who are doing awful things to certain groups of people can come across as just, like, it's, and again, maybe I don't want to, like, make this comparison, but it's like how, like, people, like, live next door to a serial killer, and it's like, oh, he seems perfectly normal. And then, you know, on his off days, he's killing people, literally, right? Which, again, I'm not saying that cops are serial killers, I'm not going that far. But I am just trying to highlight the issues that are there and say that that might be an interesting route. I don't know if your thoughts on that, Gardner.
I mean, I think that might be what they were trying to do. It just fell, just the execution fell a little flat from my perspective. But I do think that is what they were trying to do by, first of all, casting John C. McGinley, who's, you know, eternally likable. And then just, like, the lines of dialogue and stuff that they give him throughout when he has confrontations with these women, they really try to make it seem like, you know, he doesn't want to have to see these women go to prison, or he doesn't want to see these women dead. But it just, it's a mixed bag on in that aspect of the film, I think.
Yes, I suppose with that, they could have either shown that there was some type of police investigation. I know that they focused after that incident on Stoney's grief, and quite rightly showing the impact of that on family members and the community. And I suppose there was more of that emotional sadness rather than anger throughout all of the community. It remained within their microcosm effectively, but then perhaps also their retaliation by embarking on the heist was an outlet for that anger as well. But I think, yes, it probably would have been good to see how the police themselves responded to having undertaken that particular type of action, and then also just wider anger amongst the community as well, without detracting from the storyline of the women as well.
And what a performance in that scene when she is grieving her brother. I mean, everyone killed it in this movie, I will say. Like, I thought all the performances were really strong. But that scene in particular, I remember watching it and just looking around the room. I was by myself, like, still looked around the room, like, damn, is anybody else seeing this? This is wild.
Oh, yes. And even building up to that. So when there was that climactic moment with the interaction between the police and her brother, and there is then that jump cut. So you have Stoney's reaction to that. She instinctively knew that something had happened to her brother, and that was just so well filmed.
Yeah, I mean, the filmmaking and the behind the scenes stuff, all the crew members and the directing, I think, is on point, just as the acting is on point. So obviously when you get that, as long as you got a good story, you're not really missing much. And we've mentioned the soundtrack's great in this. So it's like you got all the pieces there and it works. So I kind of alluded to this earlier after they robbed their first bank, because we've jumped around a lot. I love that we kind of just went away from the plot there and talked about the overall themes of it. That's kind of what I prefer in these discussions. So, and now I do want to talk about what I was alluding to earlier after that first bank robbery, when it's Cleo, I think, again, the instigator, who's like, we keep going, right? And that's the moment where I was like, earlier on, like, the dread starts to kind of creep in, like, at least for me, where I'm like, this doesn't end up well. I've seen these types of movies. They don't get away scot-free, the four of them, right? You know that something's going down and some people are going down for sure. And the real moment of dread is when she's like, let's do it again. Let's, you know... They were like, no, we're supposed to do just one. Like, it was like, that is that classic, like, this is my last job, even though it was our first job. But they're like, we're just going to do one, and then we're out. And it's like, no, it pulls you back in, right? Just to make a little reference there, tie it all back. And for me, that's a moment where I'm like, okay. And again, not in a bad way, but I've seen this movie, and I know where it goes. And I'm physically feeling the pain that I know they're going to go through. I feel like, you know, I'm expecting it. It's like that dread again. So like I said, I guess that's where we're at right now. They've robbed the bank and they've decided that they're going to rob more banks.
Yes. And I think also the film, again, just in terms of its editing, there are moments of foreshadowing. So you have when Cleo goes to Black Sam, who is Dr. Dre, and talks to him and wants his help, and he's then telling her about interest and making payments, and she's like, okay, yes, I'll pay you back. And then when there are moments where they're talking about her car and how old it is, and she says, oh yes, you know, one day I'm gonna do it big and my car will be great. And then she's always like throwing these CDs out of the cars. Each time she steals one car, she throws CDs out, and all of that just builds up a degree of tension. And again, that sense of, yes, dread, this isn't going to go so well. And she's the one who's actually the most excited by it all, exhilarated after having robbed their first bank, and is most thrilled, seems nonchalant about it all. The others are just really quite upset about it all and wondering if they'll get away with it. And so she said, she's like, yeah, let's do another one. The thrill was so great. Let's do another one. And so just having that contrast between them all and those moments are just, yes.
Yeah, it's like watching a car crash in slow motion as you see like the greed or the enthusiasm or something enter into the picture, and you start to get concerned. And I really thought they were going to go more explicitly the route of betrayal of one another. I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad they kind of teased it a little bit with particularly the scene where they come in and they find out that Cleo has blown all of her money on her girlfriend. And, you know, she puts the gun in Stoney's face. And then there's even before that, there's the scene with TT and I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the character's name from the opening of the film.
Frankie.
The scene with TT and Frankie, where Frankie doesn't want to give her cut because she didn't participate in the robbery. But I love that they always came back together and continued to work together and support each other, even when they had their differences, even when someone was sliding a little too far into greed or vindictiveness or anything like that. And these women still supported each other, even when they had their differences. I thought that was a really positive portrayal and something that helped the film a lot, because it would have, this movie, it's a heist movie. And, you know, I've seen people say, if you've seen a heist movie, you've seen them all. I completely disagree. I think this is one of my favorite genres. I love heist movies. And this one feels very distinct from other heist movies for that reason.
Absolutely. And I'm sure some people will probably compare it to Widows, but there is just so much more of an emotional impact within this film. And again, there is that thread of female friendship, strong female friendship that underpins the film and just makes it so compelling to watch. The dynamics between the women and how they interact with each other and sit on the rooftop and laugh and giggle and smoke. And it's just really quite endearing to watch.
Yeah, their on-screen chemistry is fantastic, which really sells the believability of their friend group.
And like we said, like well directed by someone in their own, their second directorial, not debut obviously, but second film that they've directed, which F. Gary Gray did. Obviously he did Friday obviously he did Friday the year before this, which, I mean, nice start to your career if you ask me. I see why he continuously got work after that. So he's done a bunch of other stuff. You know, he did a Fast and Furious movie. He's done a bunch. So you're familiar with his work, probably, if not by name, by seeing it. And I wanted to bring up the character of Luther and see what we thought about him and his role in the film, because he plays a pretty big role in getting us to the third act and the climax of the film. So I was wondering your guys' thoughts on Luther.
Luther, that's the...
He's the one who steals the money, and he was, I believe, their former boss as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. 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 Oh, yes, yes, with the cleaning company, and quite liked showing his badge and making it clear that he was the boss, and if they didn't like it, they could go and find another job elsewhere. And I thought at first he's yet again another oppressive force for them, trying to keep them there working all the time, telling them off for not clearing up after certain hotel rooms, and then just effectively, doesn't double cross them, but steals or at least denies having stolen a lot of their profits when they place it in a secret hiding place. And so that then, yes, means that even though they had dreams of only completing a couple of heists, that they were no longer able to support themselves, and so felt compelled to undertake one really big job. And it felt as though he had his almost rags to riches moment in the hotel room. Because again, with this film, you have fairy tale elements to it too. So Stoney has her glamorous moments and is wined and dined. And then Luther's here having, or allegedly having stolen all this money, and is then living a life of luxury in the hotel room with champagne and caviar and a nice woman by his side. And he doesn't seem remorseful at all if he has stolen it. He seems to feel that it's his right because the money was in a location where it was easy for him to find and within somewhere that he owned. So again, you have oppressive forces really just meaning that the women, even though they want to come away from all of this and move away from these criminal activities and the position they've been placed within, are not able to do so.
Yeah, he felt to me emblematic of like the patriarchal system that just takes and takes and takes and never gives back. You know, you hear a lot that women have to work twice as hard as men in pretty much everything they do to get the same level of success or respect or you name it. And that is exactly what happens to them here. They have to go and do another two heists, you know, because he, or is it just one? I don't, that's besides the point. Because of this oppressive force on the outside that takes and takes and takes, these women are forced to work harder and harder and harder when they don't want to, when they shouldn't have to. It's unfair. And I think that's kind of, that's how I read it. The symbolism of the character of Luther.
Yeah, and I think we've mentioned it. We haven't said explicitly what I'm going to say, but we've kind of hinted at it that, I guess maybe we've kind of said it, but they're being pushed there, is what we've said, to become criminals. And I think my point is that that's important to not just make them criminals for the sake of being criminals. And I like that in movies when, because it makes your main character more sympathetic anytime you're watching a heist movie. I think that's important for me, at least. It's like you can do a lot for the character with very little, I think, work being put in. And like, I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying it's not that hard to do what you need to do, I think. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you got to just give them something. Like, my brother was just gunned down, like, in, like, brutally. Like, so now I'm like, fuck it. I'll rob banks. Like, okay, I get that. I can understand that. You know, if you give me a character who's like got a bunch of money and they just are robbing banks for the fun of it, right? Maybe that's an interesting character, like in like almost like a twisted sense. Like, what's motivating this character? Why are they just doing it for the thrill of it? Yeah, but am I like interested in, like, do I feel connected to that character? No. Like the Joker, I don't know. I hate to do like a comic book movie thing, but it's a good example. Like, the Joker is an interesting character to me, but do I ever feel like connected to the Joker? Do I? No, right? I don't like empathize with the Joker, you know what I mean? And I think that's a distinction that's interesting, or that's good here, because they're not just criminals, they're being forced into that. And I think that's also like something that's maybe a bigger commentary on like how we treat quote unquote criminals in general in society, where it's like people aren't going out there deciding I want to rob a bank for the fun of it. People aren't stealing from a convenience store for the fun of it. They're doing it because they want to feed their family. And they're doing it because they've been pushed there and they don't have other options, right? And so I think that's kind of what the movie is showing us there. And I think that not only from a character point of view, but from an overall what they're telling us about society point of view, it's interesting and important. And I think even more so when you're dealing with characters who aren't like white men, like a lot of heists are, I think it's even more important to give them proper motivation and not to just make them criminals for the sake of being criminals. Because like, if you do that, like, there's a certain section of the population who watches this movie and is just feels validated in certain points of view that they already have, which is not what you want, which is exactly what the movie's fighting to go out against the entire film. So, and they continue to accomplish that in that aspect. So again, just more praise for the film, I guess, on my part. But
yes, absolutely. And you certainly see that with Frankie's arc as well, because at the beginning, she was being accused by her boss and the police as having a really quite involved role in the robbery. And she was there protesting, stating, well, I'm a stellar employee. I'm here at 8:20 every morning. I was counting however many thousands of dollars by hand. And yet, just because somebody that I know who just lives in my neighborhood isn't even a friend, robs a bank, puts a gun in my face, and you believe that I'm guilty. And so it's then that cycle whereby it becomes almost like that self-fulfilling prophecy. And so she decides, well, they think that's what I am, so I might as well do it. I know the intricacies of the bank system. I might as well exploit that to my gain. And I don't have any money now, so I might as well take what is probably owed to me. And so you have that sense again, as you've said, Duncan, of them being forced to do this against their will. It's not what they want to do. System is there. System is making it difficult for them to survive and thrive otherwise. And so this then seems to be a simple option presented to them in order for them just to be able to, on a day-to-day basis, live and eat. And you see that as well with Titi and her son, and social services are involved, and she can't make her rent payments. She needs an advance. It's denied by Lufa. So again, just all of these forces that are against them. And so they just feel that there's no other option.
Yeah, TT in particular is a really tragic character in this film. Brutal. I mean, I knew what was happening when she brought her son to work. I was like, oh God, they work with cleaning supplies. Was this what we're going to do now? And it was. And that was, you know, like I said, there's a few moments in this movie where it feels like they could have really wallowed in the melodrama. And I think that was probably one of the moments where it got like closest to it. But even then, like it just, her performance was so strong. And I think I watched this movie a few days ago. I don't know specifically, you know, all the actresses' names and anything, but she was the one who, this was like her first big role, I believe, right? Sorry, yes, what's her name?
Yes, Kimberly Elise.
Kimberly Elise.
Kimberly Elise. Yes, yes. That was her introductory role.
And that's a thing that happens. This, that's the thing that really helps make this movie so emotionally resonant and effective and impactful, is that this is all thing. These are all things that happen, particularly like with social services and taking your children away, and due to circumstances that are out of your control. But all of these elements are handled so well throughout that, like you were saying earlier, Duncan, a really important aspect of filmmaking is the characters. And if you don't have that, then the rest kind of falls apart. And I just wanted to shout her out real quick because I thought she did a fantastic job.
Yeah, so I mean, we're fans of all the cast, and like we said, everyone behind the scenes as well. I think that, like I said, we've hopped around and we're kind of jumping back and forth. But if we want, I think we can just discuss the rest of the movie in the end now. Just everything that happens is on the table. Let's talk about where we end. Let's talk about who we end up with, right? Gardner, you already alluded to it earlier on. Didn't really allude to it. Again, you kind of just said it. So I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I'm saying it. I'm misstating it. I'm using the wrong word, is what I'm saying. Not judging how you did your stuff before. So yeah, let's just jump into the ending. I'll let you guys go first, and then I'd love to just hear about the rest of the movie and the ending of it, because I think that, like I said, I've talked in the past about how you could love a movie as much as you want. If the ending doesn't hit, then it's no good. Or at least that's for me. For me, that's how I look at a movie. And I've also said the opposite, where it's like a movie can be like, okay. But if it's got like a brilliant ending or something that's just going to make you go, fuck yeah, then okay, I'll watch it. You got me. You know what I mean? I'll watch the rest of the movie. That's okay. Just for that good ending. So do we think that this ending is worthy of the rest of the movie? I guess is the question.
I will say I liked the ending. Yeah, the ending worked for me here. It was, you know that not everyone can get out in these kinds of movies. So I wasn't really like taken aback or surprised by it. I thought it served the kind of grittiness of the film throughout, where they try to reflect reality, but they still gave the main protagonist a happy ending. So I was glad that they found a way to do that.
I really liked the ending as well. And I think that the film led us to there, again, with that reference to Thelma and Louise. And so we all know how that ended. So it was good to see with this as well, how you had quite a dramatic finish for some of them. So moments where it becomes this televised event, people are watching, people in the community, those they've interacted, are rooting for them, hoping that it will all go well. It becomes this run to the end, more or less, to try and escape, to have that better life after it has all come to its conclusion. And I think it was really fitting the way that each of the characters was separated and they had their own individual moments, their individual finishes as well. So I thought that was really well done and believable too.
Yeah, for me, like, it's not groundbreaking in the ending, and it doesn't have to be, but it's serviceable for the story. Like, it makes sense for the story. It goes where it was supposed to go. And that's what matters. It works. Like I said, it doesn't have to be groundbreaking. It just has to not fuck up, I guess. It has to make sense for the rest of it. And a really good ending can catapult it, but it doesn't need a twist, for example, or something like that, which is not what this movie's about anyway. So you wouldn't really want one here, I don't think. Like, oh, and it's been him the whole time. It's like, what? No. Get that out of here. You know, not that kind of movie. So I have to just agree with you guys. It worked. Like, we've kind of praised this movie throughout, up and down. So I think it's about time that we get into our wrap-up. And with our wrap-up, we can actually put our money where our mouth is and decide for our audience to hear what exactly our rating is of this movie. That's right, folks. It's final thoughts and ratings. And we, here on GDT, always like to let our guests go first. So we're going to put you on the spot, LaToya. It is your turn first to share with us your final thoughts and your rating of Set It Off.
Yes, so final thoughts. It is a thrilling heist movie, highlighting female friendships, the importance of having aspirations as well, and just having that determination to try to fulfill all of that as well, in spite of various oppressive forces. It is extremely well directed, with a good cast, good editing, and it's just a really exciting, compelling film from start to finish. And so my score will be 90 money bags out of 100.
All right, there we go. Very fair. Again, love when a guest brings a movie that they got in the 90s. So that's obviously a good rating. So we asked you to bring a movie you love, and you did just that. Thank you. Gardner, that means it's your turn. Your final thoughts, please, and your rating of Set It Off.
I thought this movie was thoroughly enjoyable. I'm upset that I didn't know it existed before I watched it. I thought the performances were strong. I thought the script was tight. The soundtrack, like we've already mentioned, was awesome. And yeah, overall, this is definitely a movie I would recommend to someone. It was forward thinking and in a lot of, like we mentioned earlier, really unfortunate ways is still relevant in ways that it shouldn't still be relevant. But that's the reality that we live in. And the only thing that really knocks it down for me is, like I alluded to earlier, I think they went a little too easy on the police characters throughout the film. That loses it a couple points for me. But overall, and that was probably like studio interference or something. Overall, I'm going to give it 91 CDs on the ground out of 100. Good flick.
All right, there we go. We got precision there on our ratings. Very only one off, so very close. We love that. I agree with all the points that you guys have made throughout this discussion and in your final thoughts. I also agree with the points that I made. That's why I made them. And I think that this movie is forward thinking, like we've said. It's progressive, and it's for its time and for now, even in ways. And some of that is unfortunate because it shouldn't be for nowadays, really, because we should have solved some of these issues by now, or gotten a lot further at least. But anyway, it's important in that sense. It's touching on things like race, gender, sexuality, and in ways where, like we said, like the sexuality thing is not put on like display like it's in a museum or something like that. It's presented as everyday life where these people exist, and that's beautiful. That's exactly what it should be. So it's doing all that in great ways, and it also has a message of like, fight the authority figures that are holding you back and don't let them hold you back, which is something that I think that a lot of people can really resonate with, and I know I can. Not that, again, like I'm not being held back by society, but I can resonate with that ideal and wanting that for everyone is what I mean by that. I'm not trying to sit here and pretend like, you know, me as a straight white male is being held back. Don't get the wrong message here. Not what I'm saying, but I can resonate with the idea and wanting that for everyone. And I think that's really important. And then on top of that, like we've said, it's a good movie. It's a good action film. It's well shot, well written. It's got characters that are get you involved and want you to make you want to know more about them and connect with them. It's got relatable characters. It's got characters who are put in situations that make you feel for them. It's well acted. And like I said, I want to praise everyone from the director to the writers to the guy holding the camera, whatever. Everyone behind the scenes did a very good job on this. And top to bottom, it's a good film with politics, I guess, that I like. So that's always icing on the cake. And a film doesn't have to have politics that you like for it to be enjoyable. I'm not saying that, but for me, that is always icing on the cake when it's saying something that I agree with and I think is important. So for me, I'm giving this 89 TTs out of 100, RIP, but I'm giving it 89. And I'm not sure when I spliced it in, but I'm sure I've spliced in the sound clip from Try Me by Dej Loaf at some point. So you've probably got TT's name stuck in your head from that already, guys. So I apologize for that. But that does bring us to the end of our entire discussion now that we've figured out what our ratings actually are and what our final thoughts were as well. So that's the end of the show. And I would like to take the time now to thank you, LaToya, for joining us and for bringing a movie that we all really just enjoyed and got a great discussion out of too. So thank you.
Thank you. It was great to be on the show and yes, discuss one of my favorite 90s films as well. And I'm glad that you both enjoyed it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, this was a blast. And like I said, a really good conversation, which is the most important part for our viewers, or I should say our listeners, because we could have as good a time as we want, but if it's not an interesting discussion, I guess, then our listeners won't really care for it. But this was both enjoyable and a great time. So again, thank you to LaToya, and also thank you to our listeners as well. Thank you to our recurring listeners, as well as our new listeners who are just joining us for the first time today. I hope that you all enjoyed what you were listening to today, and it makes you want to listen to more of us. So hopefully you'll want to stick around. And if you do want to do that, you can follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Good Data Pod, or on Facebook at GDT Podcast. And you can also find us on all the podcasting platforms, meaning which is Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the free ones. Anywhere you can find podcasts, we're there. Just find us by searching the letters G, D, T, and we'll pop up, and you can subscribe so you never miss an episode, and leave a 5-star review so that we're happier. And while we're doing that, why don't we remind our listeners where they can find you, LaToya?
Yes, so I can be found on Twitter. I am Frongla27. That is spelled FRANGLAIS number 27. And my website as well is Frongla27Tales. That's Tales as in TALES.com. So that's where you can find me. And so do say hello.
And just briefly, I did tell you at the top of the show, but we have 4 episodes a week, and there really is something for everyone on this show. Monday, we discussed an indie short film that we're working on here at GDT, which is part of a mini-series where we're talking about all the behind-the-scenes stuff on that. Really interesting. On Tuesday, we discussed The Incredible Hulk, so that's good for superhero fans. And tomorrow, we have an interview with an aspiring writer, so if you're interested in indie filmmaking, there's another opportunity to learn about that. So stay tuned for all of those future episodes. And like I said, you can follow us on the socials and you can subscribe to us on any platform. And that does conclude our show. Thank you all for listening. We will talk to you again tomorrow.
Thank you for listening, folks. Thank you for coming on the show, LaToya. We had an absolutely great time. Great conversation. To all of our listeners, we love you and we'll see you on the next one.